Welcome all. I'd like to call the Executive Board meeting of Sussex Academy on September 21st, 2016, to order at 3:48. Please let the records note that we had some technical difficulties in arranging for the meeting to be recorded. First, I'd like to call to order if everybody will go around the room and acknowledge that they are here. Denise Westbrook.
Susan Mitchell.
Patricia Oliphant.
Debbie Fees.
Chris Moody.
Martin Collegegrove.
Andrea Rogers.
Steve Burke.
Lauren Wisely.
Alan Stafford.
Chris Benjamin.
Thank you. The number two item on the agenda is going to include oath of office, as today we welcome our teacher representative, Ms. Debbie Fees. Debbie, if you will, repeat after me in the oath of office. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Delaware.
And the Constitution of the State of Delaware.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of school board member according to the best of my ability.
Of the office of school board member according to the best of my ability.
And I do further solemnly swear.
And I do further solemnly swear.
That I will not directly or indirectly.
That I will not directly or indirectly.
Pay, offer, or promise to pay.
Pay, offer, or promise to pay.
Contribute, or offer, or promise to contribute.
Contribute, offer, or promise to contribute.
Any money or other valuable thing.
Any money or other valuable thing.
As consideration or reward.
As consideration or reward.
For the giving or withholding.
For the giving or withholding.
A vote on any issue.
A vote on any issue.
Excellent. Welcome to the Executive Board of Sussex Academy. We're happy to have you, Mrs. Fees.
Thank you.
The number three item, approval of the board minutes. Thank you, Andrea, for distributing those. If everybody will take a moment to go ahead and review what they have in front of you from July. Are there any revisions, suggestions? If not, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Oh, and also, could you state your name when you are rendering the motion?
Motion to approve, Steve Burke.
Second. Second, Susan Mitchell.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. July minutes are approved. We have a guest here that is going to assist in going over the audit draft from 2016 or fiscal year 2017. And so I ask that the board consider moving that item up earlier so that we don't keep him all evening long. Tim, if you'd like to go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Okay. My name is Tim Sawyer. I'm a manager at Barbicane Thornton & Company. I've been on your account, the audit, since we took over 3 years ago. I do apologize for Pam Baker. She wanted to be here today, but she had conflicting meetings in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So you guys are stuck with me.
It's all right. We're happy with that. We'll take it.
Okay. Hopefully when you came in, everybody should have picked up two packets. One was the draft financial statements. If anybody needs that copy. Anybody else need a copy? And then you should also have a copy of our audit results, which is a bound document.
Yes.
We don't care if you're looking at it.
When we originally came before we started the audit, we actually came down and met with you ahead of time, and we presented our audit plan of how we're going to progress through the audit. So that's the smaller of the two packets. We're going to start with that. It's the audit results. I'm going to start real quick with that, and I'm going to go into the financial statements. So if you flip to page 2 of the audit results, at the top is status and reports. We were here on site, and we completed our field work actually in early August. August 11th was the last day we were here on site. And based on our audits, assuming everything is okay, there's no changes to the draft, what you have basically is what we consider the final draft. So hopefully none of the numbers or anything will change. And with that, we are planning to issue unmodified or clean opinions on the governmental activities, the governmental fund, the aggregate fund information, as well as the supplementary information that are contained in your financial statements. With that, we're going to go to a couple of the pages in the financial statements. In the financial statements on pages 1 and 2, pages 1, 2, and 3, but I'm going to focus on pages 1 and 2. It's the independent auditor's report. On page 1, the second paragraph talks about management's responsibilities for the financial statements. And basically what that says is management's responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America, including the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal control relevant to the preparation of the financial statements. Alan and his staff handle that, and you also have an outside fee accountant who helps put together your financial statement, and that's how you settle your responsibilities for there. Once everything is good here, we also will have a management representation letter which we've sent to Alan for signature. If you're good with the financial statements, he'll sign and date that and send it back, and that'll become the date on the audit report. The next paragraph is the auditor's responsibility, and it's our responsibility to express an opinion on the financial statements based on our audit. And we do that, and we perform our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America, as well as standards applicable to financial statements contained in government auditing standards issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. So even though you're a nonprofit entity, right now because you're required to report as a component to the state of Delaware, you have to do the government statements, so you kind of get, you do government-based statements under Government Accounting Standards Board, or GASB, as opposed to the Financial Accounting Standards Board, or FASB. So your statements are a little bit different than if you were looking at a for-profit company. On page 2, the first underscored item is the opinion. That is, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above in the report, which I had mentioned the opinion units already, are presented fairly in all material respects. Your financial position of the governmental activities, governmental fund, and aggregate remaining fund information as of June 30th. So that's what we consider an unmodified or clean opinion again. The next section in the statements is pages 4 through 10. This is management's discussion and analysis. Again, Alan puts this together with the help of your outside accountant. And this is basically a narrative of the school's results for the past year. It kind of, if you're not a numbers person, it gives you a little bit, more meat and potatoes to kind of grasp into. And for an outside user, it gives them a quick, if they read this, it gives them a kind of a quick idea of what's going on in the school in the last year and how you're operating, and gives them some good information about the school. You'll notice on the management discussion analysis, it does say unaudited on the top because we don't audit the information that's in there. But what we do some procedures to make sure that any numbers in there are consistent with numbers in the financial statements that they agree. We may recalculate any percentages that are listed in there. So we do some procedures just to make sure that everything in there is consistent with the financial statements. If you go to page 11, this is your statement of net position. So this is akin to your balance sheet if you were a for-profit corporation. So at June 30th, 2016, you had about $3.4 million in total assets and deferred outflows of resources. Your major asset is you have $1.9 million in available cash. And you have depreciable assets of $836,000, being basically the equipment and stuff that's been placed in service, purchased by the school. And there's more information on that in note 3 of the financial statements, but I'm not going to go over that. On the liability side, the biggest liability there is the accrued salaries, which is for the 10-month employees that get paid on a 12-month cycle. So even though they're finished in June, they still get paid in July and August based on the work that they have performed through the school year. So we have to accrue that every year. You have a small capital lease for one of the buses you purchased, and there's more information on that in note 4. And then the other big liability you have is, if you remember when we came last year, we talked to you about GASB 68 and the school picking up its proportion of the net pension liability. The net pension liability as of June 30, 2006 for Sussex Academy is $822,000, which is an increase from last year when it was $376,000. So it increased $466,000 in the last year. That liability, unfortunately, is out of your control because it's through the state pension plan. Just to give you a feeling, at 6/30/15, that number was based on a 95.8% funded pension plan. The 6/30/16 number, because of the way the market performed and all, is at 92.67%. So you had about a 3% decrease in your portion of the liability went up $466,000. And again, like I said, it's something that you really can't control. It's not like you can just give the money to the state and say, here we are, we're full.
My only question on this and the way we're accounting for this is, you know, that could be a large swing in a liability from year to year, depending on, you know, what the return rate is and the actuarial assumptions. Does that put like a de facto lien against any contingency would have? So said another way, if the liability swung severely and put us in a net negative position, how is that viewed? What would that do relative to our use of cash? Is this encumbering our cash and what we consider to be a reserve?
It's not encumbering your cash any, because like I said, you don't have control over that liability. If you were your own business and you had your own pension plan and the actuaries came back and said you're $822,000 underfunded and you said here's a check, you could take care of that liability.
If we spent $2 million and we had no cash, we would be in a net negative position, okay?
Correct.
Because of the pension liability.
That would be a factor of it.
Right? What ramifications are there as a result of that if we went negative because of the swing in the pension liability? Right. And does that put some sort of limitation on your cash and restrict you?
Does not put any restriction on your cash right now. You're picking up a portion of the share of the state's pension plan.
Yeah.
And of course, the state has the authority to tax.
Right.
So that's how they would make good on that liability eventually.
Right.
But right now, just because it's underfunded and you're participating in that plan, you have to pick up, according to the accounting rules, have to pick up your proportion.
So you're saying a negative net position isn't bad if it includes a liability truly don't know.
Correct.
Would it affect the page 3 of this, where we then would not meet the state standard in either the current ratio or the debt default?
That could have an effect on those numbers. And when we get into that, I have some more information when we get to that point.
So it is an encumbrance in some regard.
It can affect your financial framework with the state when they look at your ratio. But they should be aware of it, being the state and having to look at that for everybody.
I would imagine that a number of schools might be in that position just because of the recognition of the liability.
Some are, and luckily for Delawareans, the state of Delaware's plan is good because you're the 90%. in Pennsylvania, for instance, because we do a lot of charter schools and school districts in Pennsylvania, their pension plan's 36% funded. They're picking up liabilities of, you know, like over $20 million for some school districts.
Can the record please show that Steve Burke and Chris Benjamin have posed the questions to Tim Sawyer? If you would just identify yourself when you're speaking. Thank you. That was Denise Westbrook.
Trisha Oliphant. When we're talking about the audit results, correct me if I'm incorrect. Charter schools must have published audits every year like this and must be audited by an outside firm. That is not true of regular public school districts. Is that?
In the state of Delaware, correct.
Okay. My point being that we may not know, in terms of regular public school districts, what these numbers may look like because there's not the necessity for an audit every year. It doesn't mean that they never get audited. I'm not trying to imply that in any way, shape, or form.
They may have to still prepare it, Steve Burke. They might still have to prepare a position of a net position. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they have to do because they're audited as part of the state of Delaware.
Right.
And they're basically, as the all the school districts are part of the Department of Education line item.
Okay.
So it's all done under that department, in contrast to charter schools that are done individually by charter schools.
Yeah, the relevance escapes me. I don't understand why. Okay.
There are not enough people to be able to do it. That's what I suspect. It's not what I know, but it's what I suspect.
All right, but keep that $446,000 increase in the back of your head just for a little bit. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. On page 12 is your statement of activities. So this is basically what would be considered your P&L if you were a for-profit business. Your largest expenditure is your instructional services. So it's salaries, benefits, supplies for all the education provided to the students. You're at about $5.2 million. And your two largest sources of revenues are the charges to the school districts, basically for the tuition for students that attend here from those districts. That's $1.2 million. And then you have $4.7 million in payments from primary government, which is the appropriations you've received from the state of Delaware. So overall, in 2016, you had $112,000 increase in your net position from the prior year. And those are basically like your balance sheet and P&L for a for-profit business. They're presented on the full accrual accounting method, meaning that we pick up all receivables, all payables, your long-term capital assets, and your long-term debt, which the only thing that you have for long-term debts really is that one capital lease on the school bus. On pages 13 and 15 are your governmental fund financial statements. These are presented on the modified accrual basis of accounting. Basically, what we do is we pull out the capital assets and long-term debt, and also that net pension liability is not reflected on your fund level statements. So if you look here, your fund balance is $1.2 million compared to the net position you had at 1.4, and it's just the difference of those things. And page 14 is a reconciliation of how we get from the fund level modified accrual to the full accrual level. Page 15 is your statement of revenues, expenditures, changes in fund balance. And again, this is modified accrual. There you were basically almost at a break even. You had a $1,700 increase from the year. Instead of looking at the numbers on page 15, I'm going to direct you to jump over to page 33. On page 33 is your budgeted comparison schedule. So this presents your budget to actual results. And these are basically the same numbers that we're just going page 15, but here, these present the budget and the actual and the variance. These are probably what you see more of on a monthly basis as you're looking at your financial reports. You did an excellent job here. You had budgeted revenue of $6.53 million, and you took in just under $6.5 million, so you had a small $36,000 variance. On the expenditure side, you had $6.49 million budgeted and $6.494 in actual expenditures, so you were just $4,000 over there. So again, at the end of the year, you increased your fund balance by $1,700. So you're excellent job managing to your budget during the year. Okay, with that, I'm going to go back to the audit results. And one of the things that we had talked about when we were doing the audit, we would go over our different results, and one of the other things was also the financial framework. So if we're back on page two, from the audit result, we had two items we wanted to note out based on the audit results. The first was that we had a couple of adjusting journal entries as part of the audit. These adjustments, while the staff was out here working on the job, were presented to Alan, and we made those and reflected those in the financial statements. And it was basically just to correct a couple of mistakes in the calculation of the accrued salaries and the net pension liability. Mm-hmm. And the net pension liability, like I said, was from the valuation report from the state. So those numbers have been reflected already in the statements. Because they were made and reflected in the statements, there was no reportable condition or anything. Which takes us down to the next item, which is your internal control system. So we looked at transactions dealing with cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll, and everything appeared to be designed and operating effectively. We had no findings, material weaknesses, or reportable conditions as a result of our audit. So another good job there. We have one open item, which is the management representation letter, which I mentioned earlier. If everything's good with the financial statements, Alan has it, he'll sign it and send it back up to us, and we can finalize everything. I get the report in by September 30th, due date to the state. That's sort of the timeline.
And just to be clear, this is Alan Stafford. You're going to submit those to the offices that need them, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we'll send the report in to DOE.
Okay.
On page 3 and 4, okay, one of the things we said when we came in was we were going to look at the financial framework this year to kind of give everybody kind of a heads up of what you could expect once the state gets their numbers and goes through. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we come in and say, oh, you had an unmodified clean opinion, and then people would call us up later and say, well, the state said we didn't meet this standard. What do you mean? You said we had an unmodified or clean opinion. We're like, well, you did. Your financial statements presented fairly your results of your operations. However, they didn't meet the framework, but you presented them fairly. So we went ahead this year and took a look at the financial framework. There's 8 measures in the framework, and you can have, for each measure, you can either meet the standard, you do not meet the standard, or you're far, far below the standard. Mm-hmm. And with the exception of the two that deal with debt, you can have one of those 3 items. The two measures that measure debt, one of the 3 is not available, so it's either meets or you don't meet, basically. Mm-hmm. So the first financial measure was your current ratio. To pass that, you need a current ratio of at least 1.1. The school's at 2.6, so you meet that ratio.
That would be impacted by the pension liability.
Yes, that goes up. You know, and all the numbers that direct, we've given you the formulas here. Mm-hmm. All the numbers that you would need to calculate these are on pages 11 and 12 of the financial statements that we looked at earlier. So yes, if that pension liability does increase, that'll drive this ratio down in future years. Your unrestricted days cash, you need at least 60 days of cash on hand. At the end of the year, you had 114 days worth of cash, so you meet that metric as well. The enrollment variance, that's your actual enrollment divided by your authorized enrollment. Now you came in at 90%, and you're supposed to equal or exceed 95%. The variance there was due to the high school enrollment being a little bit lower than you expected, mm-hmm. and that fact is also mentioned in the MD&A that we had discussed earlier, we didn't go through it line by line, but that is noted in there as well. On the good side, though, for this fiscal year, and we were told that your incoming ninth grade class was at full capacity. So hopefully, next year when we look at this ratio, you'll be able to move over into the meet standard. Debt default's an easy one.
Steve Burke, my guess is that the enrollment variance in schools like this is probably unstable. You know, as you're growing and you're filling out your grades and you're bringing in enrollment. So I would imagine that this becomes a fairly easy metric when you're fully enrolled. You know, mm-hmm. the more people you have, 5% mm-hmm. is a bigger number. Sorry.
That's okay. So the debt default, that's an easy one. It's either are you in default or you're not in default. Like I said, you only had the one capital lease, so you're making the payments on that, so you're not in default. Page four, the fifth measure is total margin. Here for the total margin, there's two different ways to meet it. You pass on the first way, which is the aggregate three-year total margin must be positive, and the most recent total margin must be positive. Your result there was your 1.74% in positive mode, so you pass that one. Your debt-to-asset ratio needs to be less than 0.9, and you're at 0.6, so again, you meet that ratio. The seventh framework is the cash flow. Again, there are two different requirements to meet this. You pass under the second one, which is the three-year cumulative cash flow must be positive, and the cash flow for two of the three most recent years also must be positive. Looking back at this performance, in 2014, you had negative cash flow of about $90,000. In 2015, you had positive cash flow of $267,000, and in 16, you had positive cash flow of $167,000. So again, in the 3 years you add up all those numbers, you're at a positive $344,000. And the last 2 years of the three are positive, so you meet that framework. And then the last one is your debt service ratio. That has to be equal to or exceed 1.1. And basically because the school itself only has that one capital lease, your debt service ratio is 14.73. So you far exceed that ratio. The last part of the audit results is on page 5 and 6. This is a summary of our different required communications throughout the audit. We've touched on several of these already, so I'm not gonna go back through each one of them individually. But probably more importantly for you on page 6, we start off, we would have to let you know if there are any fraud or illegal acts. We're not aware of any. Independence matters, there are no matters that would affect our professional judgment or impair our independence. And then there's a couple other things down there, there's a list, I'm not going to read through them. But again, there were none of these items that came to our attention during the audit, which also basically, like I said, led to our unmodified or clean opinion. Any questions so far on the audit or the audit results? All right, there was one other thing that I did have, and I don't think that...
I just did have one question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you folks are aware that the financial framework is under review again currently. I'm just making you aware of that.
I'm sure it probably has to do with the net pension liability, because I know last year they backed that out of the calculation.
It was presented at the state board either last month or this month. It's on their website, the draft.
Okay. Usually also as part of the audit, we usually go through, and if there's any recommendations or anything that we see, we like to bring them to your attention. Like I said, we had no issues with the audit, no reportable conditions, no material weaknesses. A couple of things that we did put together in a a letter. One was a recommendation to adopt a fund balance policy. And Alan, if you need a copy of anything, just let me know. I can shoot you over a couple of different copies. This just kind of sets forth how you manage your fund balance policy, if you want to set anything aside for future use. Just gives you a tool to kind of give you the direction to get back to that if you need it. The school has a capitalization policy right now. It's $1,500, and anything for equipment-wise with a useful life over a year. Back in May, the state changed one of their requirements to using their capital equipment codes.